from Wall Street to the White House. This is the Larry Kudlow Show.
I'm Larry Kudlow, and we're going to revisit this, all these big events in the financial markets with market speculation that the Federal Reserve is throwing in the towel on inflation, and they're going to start slashing their policy target rates. Well, wait a minute. There may not be unanimity inside the central bank about that. And anyway, what's the Fed afraid of? And anyway, what's a little deflation after 3 years of inflation with the CPI up 17%? So let's bring in our great expert, John Carney, co-author of the Breitbart Business Digest, which is a must read every day. John, so I want to pick up from the stuff we did on the TV show, but there's new news now. After this frenzy that the Fed is going to cut three times, but the market now says seven times, a couple of Fed presidents, one of them is quite powerful, John Williams, the president of the New York Fed, which is my alma mater. He's a pretty smart guy, sort of a conservative Keynesian. But also, as you probably saw, Atlanta Fed president Raphael Bostic said it's way too early to consider cutting rates as soon as March. So, what? I mean, this whole business, this is the Fed run rampant here. This is like something out of Joe Biden's playbook. I mean, what are they doing?
Yeah, no, I think what happened was they thought they were coming to meet the market where the market was. So the market had, you know, four rate cuts for next year priced in. And the Fed said, you know, like the Fed officials said, yeah, you know, some of them said four, the median came out to three. And so they thought, you know, yeah, we're about where the market is. The market immediately took that over. It was like, well, no, if they say three, it's going to be six or seven. Mm. And I don't, and I think frankly, that caught the Fed people off guard. Mm. They did not anticipate how the market was going to react. You know, stock market shot up. The Russell 2000, you know, which has not had a great year, you know, went up 6% in a day. the 10-year yield fell below 4%. Mm. And I think now they're regretting a little bit both what the dot plot did and what Jay Powell did. He didn't sound, you know, he sounded not at all hawkish, not at all like he was trying to push back on the market anticipation. Right. And so I think that caught them off guard, and now they're trying to take it away. But it's too late. I mean, nobody believed, you know, when John Williams says, no, we're not really talking about cutting rates yet, nobody believed him. It didn't make a difference on Friday when he said it.
You know, I this dot plot thing, now to our audience that's not familiar with the Wall Street lingo, these are the internal estimates of the, let's see, there's 12 Fed presidents, Reserve Bank presidents around the country. And then they've got,
they actually let some of the non-voting participants.
They're in there too.
Put in the, yep.
Right.
Exactly.
So they're all in there with their estimates. And then you've got members of the governor, board of governors. But John, what are those estimates worth? I mean, how have they done the last bunch of years?
Not very well. So actually what's really funny is if you look back a year ago, all the numbers are wrong.
Yeah.
Right. Where the Fed said where we'd be now, mm-hmm. because they're projecting at the end of the year each year. So I like to look back. All the numbers are wrong, but they did get one thing right. They got the Fed funds number more or less right. Huh. I think they were a little bit lower than we are right now. So they said 5.1%, we're at 5.4. Mm. So they were pretty close on that one, but all the other numbers, they thought unemployment would be much higher than it is. They thought GDP growth would be much lower. You know, so they were wrong. Mm. People, the one number that's probably worth paying attention to may be the Fed's projection of where they think the Fed funds rate is going to be, because that's something they actually control. Mm. But I think the other thing to keep in mind when we talk about these numbers is that these aren't the numbers coming from the internal economists at the Fed. It's not the thousands of people.
Right.
It's the Fed officials, the top guys, who listen to their guys, right? Mm. You know, they're not just making these numbers off the top of their head. And they don't actually debate it with each other even. Mm. These dots are composed of, you know, the guys say, yeah, I think we're going to be at 5.4 4.6% next year. And then you average those numbers. So Powell does point out, like, we probably make too much of the dot plot. But frankly, that's also the Fed's fault. Like,
yes.
If they think we're making too much of it, they should stop doing it.
Exactly.
Right? It's misleading.
Stop publishing the damn thing. It doesn't have any significance. Plus, it's always wrong. plus, you're saying they don't even – I mean, they do listen to their research directors, but that doesn't mean they're going to do what the research directors necessarily recommend.
I would love a dot plot from them, by the way. That's who I want the dot plot to come from the research directors on each of the federal banks.
No, that's – yeah. You
and
know –
you can do it just regionally.
John,
you know, like, if,
I worked at the New York Fed, okay – just about, I don't know, when's 1973? Is that 50 years ago or something?
50 years.
I can't even do the math. It was the first job I ever had. And I worked in open market operations. And I was part of the research arm of open market operations. They had their own research arm, not the research department. But, you know, none of this was around in those days. None of it.
Right.
Al Hayes was the president of the New York Fed. Then Paul Volcker was the president of the New York Fed. Arthur Burns was the chairman of the Federal Reserve Board. And then, as we know, Volcker became chairman of the Federal Reserve. I actually had the same job Volcker had in the early 50s.
Wow.
Yeah. No, it's a kind of an interesting spot.
That was when people didn't even know if the Fed was easing or tightening at any given point. You had to guess by market movement.
That's right. That's just where I was going, John. They never publicly talked about any of this stuff, ever. And that's how far – and Volcker very much opposed any discussions. You know, he'd appear in Congress and, you know, he would – well, Arthur Burns would smoke a pipe and Volcker would smoke cigars. And they blew smoke at the senators and House members. But they wouldn't give up anything. And I think, you know, this new system of so-called transparency, John, I think it's done more harm than good. I really do. I think actually the
economists at the Federal Reserve should do a study, do the press conferences and the dot plots and all of the Fed speakers that we have coming out all the time now. Has that improved things at all? Because I'm with you. I don't see the evidence that the Fed performed better. Remember, this is the first test we've had of the Fed. You know, forget about like financial crisis. Like, yes, that's a whole different thing. But of the Fed's anti-inflation mandate, this is the first test we've had of it, and they flunked it. So is communication better? I'm not sure. Maybe it's better for some things than others, but it doesn't seem to have worked in terms of helping the Fed fight inflation.
So the other question is, what's the Fed afraid of? Which you were talking about with me in the air on the TV show. In other words, they have not gotten back to their 2% target. Now, I know the trends are okay, but the level of prices still continues to go up, although more slowly. And it is up close to 20% over the past 3 years, 17%, with energy and groceries up a lot more. I mean, what's wrong with a little bit of deflation? In other words, why does the Fed feel it has to rush in, John, and start slashing their interest rates?
Yeah, I think this they are making a serious mistake by saying, okay, now we're done. I actually think that the Fed has really underestimated a lot of big changes that are going on in the world. We have, you know, if you look back in the pre-pandemic world, we had less conflict. Prior to Donald Trump coming into office, we actually had, you know, increasing globalization. That, you know, there were a lot of problems with increasing globalization, but it was a deflationary force in the world. It was pushing down prices. Now we have reshoring, friendshoring. That's inflationary. We have wars, you know, in Israel, Ukraine, Russia, brewing conflict in, you know, with China all over the place. Those are all inflationary factors. We have an aging population in the U.S. So I think the Fed thinks it can easily get back to a world where 2% is just the, you know, the de facto rate that's going to happen. And I think they're wrong about that. I think actually we're 3 or 3 to 4% is probably where where we would be if the Fed had what, you know, stays what they used to think of as neutral, but now will be more accommodative. In other words, interest rates have to be higher to get us down to 2% than they had to be, you know, for the decade or two before that. And I don't think they've adjusted their view on this. So they're in a rush. They think 5% is really, really restrictive and is going to choke the economy. I don't, you know, me, Jim Bianco has also talked about this. I think that they're wrong on this and that 5% isn't that restrictive.
Right.
And the economy, and right now we're seeing, we grew at 5% in the third quarter with 5.25% Fed funds rate.
And
it's
people,
not choking the economy.
People don't see it. I mean, this lower inflation. I'll give you an example. Here in the radio studio, so we bought they bought a box of donuts and a bunch of coffee because I'm broadcasting from the studio today, not up in Connecticut. So last winter, that whole package cost $60. You know, I buy it, donuts for the whole staff and a big pot of coffee. Cost $60. And my producer informs me today that the same box and the same bucket of coffee – now costs $75. This is Dunkin' Donuts. Yep. From 60 to 75. Now, that's what real people worry about. And gasoline and groceries.
And you still see sticker shock. You go out to eat. I took my brother out to dinner last night. And, you know, the things that things, I wouldn't say they're twice as expensive, but they're 30% more on a menu than you're used to. And I think that is going to continue to be a problem for people. It's going to, because, you know, here's one way I put it. We had 5 years of inflation in 1 year, and we had that for 2 years. So it's going to take a decade for us to become adjusted to these prices.
I got to go, but I'm telling you, Dunkin' Donuts for the radio staff, $75 this year, $60 last year, okay?
Well, you're getting more generous over time. That's what's happening, right?
I don't think the donuts are any bigger. I don't know. My producer's shaking his head. No,
smaller.
They're not.
It's probably,
they're probably smaller.
They're probably 10%.
And there's fewer chocolate sprinkles on them. John Carney, everybody. A cult following. You got to read this. The Breitbart Business Digest. It's out every single day. And he's a regular on our Kudlow show on Fox Business. Thank you, John. Folks, we're going to take a quick break and then bring in the great Joe Concha, who's going to talk a little politics with me. I'm Kudlow. Dunkin' Donuts, $75. It was only $60 last year. Go figure, there's still inflation. We'll be right back.
Larry Kudlow.